بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, every one of us is well aware that we have entered the first 10 days of the Hijjah, or the month of the Hijjah, and these first 10 days are extremely auspicious. All of us have read different articles, all highlighting the significance of these first 10 days of the Hijjah. In short, they are extremely, extremely important, and these are days when a person should be engaged in a'mal salihah, good deeds. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, wherein he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ma min ayyamin al-amal salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah azza wa jalla min hadhihi al-ayyam." There are no days in the year in which good deeds are done that are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the good deeds done during these first 10 days of the Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah has taken an oath on Fajr, dawn, and Allah has taken an oath on the first 10 nights of the Hijjah. Mufassirin say it refers to the night and the 10 days. Any person who makes ibadah during these 10 nights of the Hijjah, then he gets the sawab of making ibadah in Laylatul Qadr night. In Ramadan, we are told to make tahri, taharru Laylatul Qadr. We have to search for Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights, in the odd nights of the last 10 nights. So there we are searching for it. We're not sure we got it or not. Here in these nights, you make ibadah during these nights, the sawab you are given of Laylatul Qadr. So you can understand how significant, auspicious these nights are in these days. Any person who fasts during these days, of course the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, Yawmun Nahr, the day of Qurbani, it is not permissible to fast on that day. We are talking now about the other days. So any day a person keeps fast, then he gets the sawab equivalent of keeping fast for the entire year. It's one single fast. So example, you keep fast today, you get the sawab of keeping a fast for the entire year. And on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is known as Yawm Arafah, for us it will be on Wednesday inshallah, and Eid is on Thursday. But in the Hujjaj who are gone, because they are one day ahead of us, so there, Eid day will be Wednesday and Arafah will be on Tuesday inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj, make it be easy for them. They are very anxious at this moment. Just now they will have to, soon they will have to depart, go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, etc. Allah make it easy for all of them and accept the Hajj. And Allah grant all those upon whom Hajj is fard especially, and all of us, Allah grant us the ability to go for Hajj. So the 9th of Dhul Hijjah for us here, which will be on Wednesday, whoever fasts on that Wednesday, he gets the sawab of all the sins of his past year, the entire year. Remember, Dhul Hijjah is the last month of the Islamic year. So, the entire year's minor sins are forgiven, and the year that is still going to come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his kindness, Allah ta'ala forgives us all the minor sins of the coming year as well. So we should try and keep at least fast on Yawm Arafah, that is next week, Wednesday, inshallah. Of course, those who are keeping fast, making ibadah, never look down upon those who are not making any extra ibadah or fasting. You know, do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many other important things that we could discuss, but we come on to the lessons of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ma hadhi al-adha'i ya Rasulullah?" What is this qurbani all about? Rasulullah SAW in brief said, "Huwa hiya sunnatu abikum Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam." It is a sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, your father. We know the entire incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam from childhood days. We have been listening and we reading and we hearing. But just brief, the important lessons for you and I to enact in our lives, to bring in our lives, to ponder, to reflect. From the time he was a youngster, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, when he was a fatan, a youngster, already he realized that what his people were worshipping, the idols, was not correct. And he had seen the sun, the moon, the stars in the heavens, and he realized that that cannot be my Rabb. So he had the firm belief that Allah is his Rabb, and he had Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he gave da'wah to his family, to his community, and with very, very polite and kind words, especially to his parents, to his father, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. With a lot of muhabbat in Arabic, Ya Abati means, oh my beloved father. So he gave them da'wah towards the oneness of Allah. He showed them the folly of what they were worshipping. Something that cannot hear, cannot see, cannot avail you. He tried desperately, they became annoyed with him. And remember, he broke those idols when his family had gone to a festival and he said, Inni saqeem, I'm not feeling too good, I'm not well. So he did not go, he had an excuse. And in the absence, he broke all the idols and he hung the sword, the axe around the biggest idol to show them that these idols could not defend themselves, they could not ward off any evil. They became very angry. They threatened they will stone him to death. Finally, they take him and throw him into a burning inferno. They strip him of his clothes. They throw him into a blazing fire. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. O fire, become cool and peaceful to Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Become sound. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was saved from this burning inferno. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his qudrat, his power, that the function of the fire is to burn. But Allah had commanded the fire not to burn. This is the qudrat of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when they took out his clothes, they stripped him of his clothes. In lieu of that, أول من يكسى يوم القيامة إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام, the very first person who will be given a garment to wear on the day of Qiyamah will be Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So in Arabic we say, مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّضَهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. Whosoever abandons, leaves out anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will replace him something better than what he had. His clothes were taken off him, so Allah honors him on the day of Qiyamah. The first person to be given a garment will be Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. There are many other examples. As we go along, I will explain that. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam tried desperately. Then they banish him. Qala salamun alayk. Sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. I'll make dua and maghfirat for you. One in the other verse. وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِي. My Allah will guide me. So he is banished, he's taken out from his town. And he has to now leave his family, his parents, and whoever else was there around. It was a great mujahada on him, a sacrifice. He's young, he has to go away. He has to leave the comfort of his home, his parents. You know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces him, gives him better? At an old age, when he was so old and his wife had become barren, she couldn't give birth. They had no children. At that old age, Allah gives him Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu salam. And after Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Allah blesses him and with Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. So whoever leaves out anything for the sake of Allah, Allah replaces him with something far greater. Now the test comes. We're not going to go into details. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is married and he has Hajar alayhi salatu salam, a little child, Ismail alayhi salatu salam. Remember, he was married to Sarah alayhi salatu salam first, and Sarah had no children. is an incident when he, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Sarah are going, and they have to pass by a tyrant ruler, a zalim, and that zalim would interfere and make zina with any person who is coming as a husband and wife, so he'll make zina with that woman. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being with Sarah, the husband and wife, and this zalim Badsha, this king, is there. So he tells her that, listen, just tell him that we are brother and sister, meaning we are brother and sister in deen, in iman. There's nobody else besides us, so we're not lying. And he began engaged in salat. And the tyrant ruler came towards her. He approached her. But each time he came, his hand became paralyzed. And he realized finally, after a long incident, that no, this woman is something as somebody else. And he lets her go free. And he gives her Hajar as a gift. So Hajar alayhi salam comes into the lot of Sayyidina Sarah alayhi salam. Then she gives Ibrahim alayhi salam, you take Hajar alayhi salam. So he marries her. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is born from Hajar or Hajara alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the command of Allah is, now you take them into the barren lands of Makkah. There were no trees, no vegetation, no crops, no human beings, there was no water, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, barren land. He has to leave them all alone. This is the command of Allah in the entire lesson of Qurbani. It is only submission, submission, submission. It is showing us also the unwavering faith of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His strong iman, his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superseded any other love he had. His love for Allah was dominant. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. He made sacrifices for the sake of Allah. Whatever was the command of Allah, without any hesitation, immediately he brought that into action. To please is Allah. No matter how hard it was, no matter how difficult it was, already I mentioned, banished from his people, thrown in the fire. Now he is told to leave Hajar alayhi salatu salam and Ismail alayhi salatu salam, little baby, a bag of dates, some water, and he has to come back. And as he is returning, not saying a word. And she asks him, that are you going to leave us all alone here? He does not answer. And then she says, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you with this? He said, Naam, yes. Immediately she responds, this is her iman. Our mother Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, if Allah has commanded you to leave us alone, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعَنَا. Allah will never destroy us. Allah will take care of us. And we know the incident then, that now the water got finished, and the dates, whatever they had, now the child is hungry, the child is crying, and she's going from Safa to Marwa. That time it was not like how we see it, so easy and all tiled and marbled. That time there was mountains, and she's going on to Safa. And the child is placed at the bottom of the valley, and each time she comes down to check her child and then goes to Marwa. And 7 rounds she did like this. When we go for Umrah, and inshallah, Hujjaj who are gone, inshallah, if they listen to this, then when you're making the Safa Marwa, ponder, reflect of this sacrifice of our mother Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, what they went through. There was nobody there. Until finally some people came, and how the Zamzam came about. So he left them in a barren land. They had nothing. They sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah replaced them with Zamzam. And that is the same Zamzam you and I drink today. From that time it is flowing. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma'u zamzama lima shuribala. Whatever niyat you drink Zamzam with, you make a dua before drinking, that your dua will be answered. Allah gave them Zamzam. Then there was a whole group of people who then settled down there. And Ibrahim ﷺ would come and visit them now and then. And then comes the big test. He sees a dream. And the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are true. Qala ya bunayya inni ara. I see in a dream that I am slaughtering you. أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. He's preparing his child. My son, think, ponder. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was at such a time that he was running around with his father. a time when the father is waiting for the son to help him with his chores, with his work, and he's so happy to have a son like this. At that time, the command of Allah is to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. What a difficult task. And then he takes Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam knows that what he has been taken for. Mother is prepared, son is prepared, father is prepared. And we know how shaitan comes in between to try and to take them, distract them, and make them feel helpless and weak, and then just forego this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were strong. And that is why Quran says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. Again, submission. When father and son both submitted, both surrendered, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, and put him on his forehead. In some tafsir is mentioned that Ismail alayhi salam tells his father, "Oh my father, blindfold me, remove my kurta, tie my hands, so when you're slaughtering me, I don't kick, and it's not difficult for me, and I don't see what you're doing, and this, my kurta must not become bloodstained, because when you take it back home, my mother, when she'll see it, she'll feel sorry, she'll cry, etc." And as Ibrahim alayhi salam has taken the knife, and he's trying to slaughter Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, what pain it must have run through his heart at that moment. But he's doing it because my Allah has commanded me. Hazrat Thani Ramadullah has mentioned that if Allah had commanded him to sacrifice himself, perhaps that could have been easy on any person to sacrifice himself than sacrificing your beloved child. And at that old age he's got this child. He was pining for this child. And Allah commands that knives that do not cut. Again, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can happen in this world if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish it to happen. Allah takes away the function of that thing. Fire did not burn. The knife did not cut. And again I mentioned, مَن تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّدَهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ. Whosoever leaves anything or does anything for the sake of Allah, and he sacrifices for the sake of Allah, Allah replaces him with something better. Immediately a ram comes from Jannah. And Ismail is spared. And Allah commands Ibrahim that you have passed the test and now you slaughter this ram. And this is the qurbani that you and I are doing. This is what Rasul told Sahaba, Sunnatu Abikum Ibrahim. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, فَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا, what will be gained? Rasulullah said, for every hair, every strand of hair on the body of the goat and the fiber on the wool of the sheep, you're going to get one neki. We can't even count the amount of strands of hair on the goat, and that's the amount of good deeds we will be given when we slaughter for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned, لَيْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is not the flesh nor the blood that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are slaughtering. It is taqwa. What is taqwa? The command of Allah for all of us is to slaughter that animal upon whom qurbani is wajib. He must do it happily. He must do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. There are no ifs and buts. And why should I slaughter an animal, and if I rather not slaughter an animal, I do something else? No, the command of Allah is to make qurbani. Whether we understand logic or don't understand, you know, Allah is so kind, so kind, so kind. We're making the qurbani, and the same animal we are allowed to eat. If Allah wished, He could have commanded the entire animal you're going to give away in Allah's path, but Allah said no. Yes, we have been encouraged to give to the poor, the needy, the family, etc., and eat ourselves. But if somebody takes the whole animal, eats for himself, there's no guna. So Allah has made it permissible for us to eat. But Allah wants to see that taqwa. What is that taqwa? That I am doing it. I'm submitting myself before Allah. I'm surrendering myself before Allah. Submission again. My Allah, you have commanded me. And do it wholeheartedly. When the person is slaughtering, he must fear taqarrub ila Allah. I'm getting closer to my Allah. And that is why we take the name of Allah when we are slaughtering. The dua to be read when we are slaughtering the animal. While slaughtering, of course every year we mention that do not give the animal any type of, you know, pareshani or difficulty. Don't be cruel to the animal. Islam teaches us to be, you know, so kind even to animals. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Najib al-Shaddad bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala, where he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته. It's a long hadith. I just mentioned, explain this part, that when you are slaughtering your animal, slaughter it in a good way, in a nice way. Allah has commanded you to have ihsan, kindness on everything, not only human being but even on animals. This is Islam, this is our deen. So وليرح ذبيحته, give rahat, comfort to your animal. How? By sharpening your knife well in advance. And there again, you do not sharpen the knife in front of the animal. One sahabi had the animal down, and then he began sharpening the knife in front of the animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by. He says, "Aturidu an tumitaha mautatain?" You wish to give this animal death twice, two mauts? One maut is the sacrifice itself. And the other one is, you're killing it with fear. You're sharpening the knife before it. Therefore, we should sharpen the knife, keep everything sharpened beforehand, and do not slaughter one animal in front of the other. Don't even skin the animal before the other. Make sure everything is clean, and we do it swiftly in such a beautiful way that anybody sees this. They see, this is your deen. This is so beautiful. This is how you practice your qurbani. It may become a means of them accepting Islam. So in one hadith of Rasulullah SAW, he mentioned that you should make qurbani tayyibatan nafsu, tayyibatan biha nafsu, you must do it happily, willingly. Then this udhiyah, this animal, will become hijabam minan nar. It will become a barrier for you from Jahannam. It will save you from Jahannam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, من وجد ساعة فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا فلا يقرب ونربن مصلانا. That person who has the means of making qurbani and he's still not going to make qurbani, then he mustn't come close to a musalla. Allah has given us this opportunity to gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tremendously. On the day of Qiyamah, this animal will come with his hooves, with his horn, the meat, and all this will be placed on the scales of the person's good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ya Fatima tu, qumi fa'ashidiha. Be present when the animal is slaughtered, of course. Not like when so many ghair maharim are there. Only mahram ade, you got your father, your brother, your son, then fine. Otherwise we find in qurbani time there's so much of intermingling. You're trying to do a good deed, but then you're spoiling it by then breaking another command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very, very important. So make the arrangement such that when the female is slaughtering, her maharim are standing with her, they are assisting her, it is all covered. And it is possible, many places they do have these facilities and they do accommodate for this. We must try our level best. And if it's not possible, then from some distance, wherever you see the animal, mashallah. But before the blood of the drop of blood can fall onto the ground, when the animal is being sacrificed, Allah already accepts that qurbani. This is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes to test upon test upon test upon test. He broke those idols for the sake of Allah to show his people tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him the honor of building Allah's house, Baytullah. And he and his son, both father and son, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they built the Kaaba. It's a beautiful story how they built the Kaaba. And upon building the Kaaba, this amal was done. There was no bragging, no boasting. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they make dua. He and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'ul alim. Oh Allah, accept this. But the word taqabbal is not just the normal verb qabila yaqbalu, is taqabbala yataqabbalu, which means that oh Allah, in this act of ours, the building of the Kaaba, perhaps there were many mistakes from our side. There may be some flaws, some errors and blunders. Oh may Allah overlook it. Please accept this building of the Kaaba that we have done. Look at his ikhlas, his sincerity. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an individual person, he was an entire nation. A nation, he was a leader. He had all good qualities, exemplary qualities, which collectively individual people have, all good qualities, he had it in one person. Allah praise him in the Quran. We heard it in Salatul Isha today. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan, qanitan, devout worshipper of Allah, obedient, a muti'an, shakira li an'umi, making shukr, being grateful for all the bounties Allah blessed him with. There was never na shukri, never a complaint. Ijtabahu, Allah chose him. Wahadahu, Allah guided him ila sirat al-mustaqim. Dunya also Allah gave him good. Allah made him a nabi. In akhirat also he will be from the salihin. Allah praises him in several places in the Quran. So the lesson of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and this family, Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Hajar alayhi salatu salam, is sacrifice, qurbani. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentions, haqiqat qurbani kya hai? Fana'i nafs. Annihilating our nafs. Ulama normally say, when you're placing the knife on the throat of the animal, then you must picture and imagine as though you are placing the knife on your nafs. And you're slaughtering the greed that you have. You're slaughtering the evil passions you have. The egos, the whims, the fancies, the desires, the anger, the jealousy, the hatred. You are making fana'iyat of this. You're cutting it. Then we have achieved some spirituality of our qurbani. Like how I mentioned, the haji goes. If he just goes and does the rituals without any spirituality, he'll go and come back. There'll be no change in his life. We need to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, these occasions are given to us. May Allah grant me tawfiq first, and all of you tawfiq of making qurbani in the best way that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do it, solely for the pleasure of Allah. Not to brag and boast about our animal. Do it with ikhlas. We're getting this once a year, an opportunity to make this qurbani. Do it properly and feel the taqarrub ila Allah, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel that we are submitting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now I'm making fana of my nafs. Oh my Allah, I want to now be a better human being. I want to be a better believer. Ya Allah, you assist me, I am weak. Many other lessons of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the sabr he had in his life, and the other very important lessons of how the tahammul, the love he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his love was not a fake love, it was a genuine love, because he was prepared to sacrifice his own son, because it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wanted you to see, oh Ibrahim, you love me more, or you love your son more. Hatim Asam rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, man idda'a mahabbat Allah min ghairi wara'in an maharimihi fa wakadhab. The person who claims he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, I got muhabbat for Allah, I got real love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the person is not abstaining from haram, then he is a liar. He is a big liar in his claim that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot be doing perpetrating haram and sins and still claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah demands that we give up all those sins. So Allah give me tawfiq first, and all of us. We want to be true ashiqs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first step is complete submission, which demands that we leave out all those things that are taking us away from Allah ta'ala's pleasure. All the vice and evil, we try our level best. We make mistakes, tawbah istighfar. We make blunders, tawbah istighfar. But we have to be genuine and come back onto the track and inculcate within us true submission and ita'at of Allah.